there are many Christians who have made the same mistake as John. They have learned that entrance into heaven does not depend on our works. That is true. Salvation is the gift of God. It is by grace. It is through faith. It is in Jesus Christ. But it is a big mistake to assume from that that your Christian life doesn't count for anything.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. And Colin, what we just heard a moment ago, I think is something that a lot of Christians can identify with. We're quick to say that salvation is not earned. It's a gift from God. It's totally grace. So why is it then a big mistake to assume that our lives don't count for anything?
Well, our Christian lives are to be lived to please Jesus Christ. We're in 2 Corinthians 5. We make it our aim to please Him. That's how we're living, because we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So think of all the things, Steve, that can only be done in this life. The only praying I'm ever going to do will be the praying I do in this life, because in heaven, faith's going to be turned to sight. The only trusting of Jesus Christ is the trusting that I do right now. The only serving, the only giving, the only witnessing to another person. So there's a whole world of things that I can pursue in this life to please Christ in the light of the fact that I'm going to be in His presence. And I will enter into His presence by grace through faith. But there are some things I can do now that I'll never have the opportunity to do again.
What a great way to begin today's program, thinking about that truth, and we're going to explore that a little bit more as we dive into 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Join us there as we continue the message, Bringing Joy to Jesus Christ. Here's Pastor Colin.
In the college where both Karen and I studied and trained, the curriculum was made up of two elements. There were examinable courses that contributed towards the degree. And then there were other courses that were mandatory for all students, but they were not examinable, and they did not contribute towards the degree. Well, you can understand with a bunch of students, every time there was a new course that started, the discussion in the dining room was, is this one of the examinable ones, or is this one that doesn't count towards the degree? And as you can imagine, the professors who had to teach the non-examinable courses had a pretty rough time. And the first thing, obviously, was that the attendance at these classes was considerably lower. The second thing was that the level of attention was definitely lower. This was before email. It was before tweeting and texting and all the rest of it. But people were old-fashioned, longhand writing letters to other people and pushing notes around the place and all the rest of it. Well, you get the picture, and it's not hard to put yourself in that situation. So let's invent a student, and we'll call him John. And there's a new course that's starting at the college, and it's on Monday morning at 7 o'clock. And people are talking about this in the dining room. What's this with a new course? I mean, Mondays at 7 o'clock. I mean, who needs that? Oh, says someone in the group, you don't need to worry about this. It's one of these non-examinable courses. Just sign in to show that you've been there. That's all you need to do. You can doze off to sleep for the rest of the time. So that's what John does. He goes in there for the first week. And he starts taking notes, but, you know, it's 7 o'clock Monday morning, and he's a student. And he writes a few things, but it's hard going, and he begins to think after a while, why bother? I mean, it doesn't even count towards the degree. And then the next week, John shows up late because he slept in, and the week after that, he didn't show up at all because he forgot to set his alarm, and you've got the feeling of the story. The last day of the class, the teacher has an announcement. As you know, this course is not examinable and it does not count towards the degree. This does not mean, however, he says, that the course is unimportant. As a graduate, you will require a reference from this college. And at the end of this session, he says, I want each of you to submit the notes that you have taken throughout the last 10 weeks of this class, and they will be placed in your file as evidence of the character and commitment that you show to learning. And when future employers are asking for a reference from this college, we will write you a reference and we will append the notes that you have taken over these last weeks for them to see your character. And John looks through his file, half a measly page from session one. One paragraph from the second half of session two. Session three, not a stroke of the pen because he slept in that entire day. And suddenly he realizes that the shoddy work he has done for 10 weeks will be the first thing that is seen by his potential employer. He rushes to the tutor. "This is not fair," he says. "This is not fair. I was told quite clearly that this course does not count towards my degree. And if I knew that it mattered, I would have done better work." "You're quite right," says the tutor. "It does not count towards your degree. The mistake you made was that you thought it didn't count for anything. And that's a terrible mistake." And you see, there are many Christians who have made the same mistake as John. They have learned that entrance into heaven does not depend on our works. That is true. Salvation is the gift of God. It is by grace. It is through faith. It is in Jesus Christ. But it is a big mistake to assume from that your Christian life doesn't count for anything. Brothers, sisters, says Paul, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account. Therefore, we make it our aim to please him. We're going through the course of our life in this world with the knowledge that while we are not trying to earn our way into heaven, which we could never do, and Christ has purchased that for us, we are on a journey in which one day we are going to stand before the King of Kings himself. And he's going to look me in the eye, and I'm going to see him in his beauty and in his glory. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you need to know that when that happens, you will not be condemned if you're in Jesus Christ. That's the wonderful truth. You also need to know that you will give an account. Not as a means to salvation that is in Christ, but don't get the idea that your Christian life doesn't count for anything. That's a terrible mistake. And that leads to the third thing that a Christian needs to know about the judgment seat of Christ, and it is this, that you may be rewarded. You may be rewarded. You will not be condemned. You will give an account, and you may be rewarded. The Lord Jesus speaks very, very clearly about rewards for faithful service many times. Matthew 6, I'm thinking about, for example, where he speaks about praying and giving and fasting. And after each of his teachings on these subjects, he says exactly the same thing. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you, will reward you. Jesus said that. Then you remember he told the story of the talents, the parable of the talents, in which a man trusts his property to his servants. And to the servants who were faithful, the master, when he came back, said these wonderful, wonderful words, "You have been faithful over a little. I will trust you or set you over much." And from that, there is an obvious correspondence, a direct line that is between the faithfulness of the servants with regards to what they have been given and the trust that is given to them when the master returns. And then think about the words of Jesus as we're thinking about this great theme when he says in Matthew 6, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Lay them up. Lay them up where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. So here he is indicating to us that there are people who in some way are laying treasure up in heaven. And when they arrive there, they're going to receive the benefit of what they have laid up there in advance. And then beyond the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, God gives to us through the apostle in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3 a vivid picture of this great day when believers will give an account. And he uses this picture. Think of your life as if it were putting up a building. And remember, he says, this is 1 Corinthians 3:10, that Jesus Christ is the foundation. No other foundation can ever be laid apart from Jesus Christ. But speaking to Christian believers, okay, you're building your life on the rock that is Jesus Christ. Here's what you need to know. Be very careful how you build. Because people build in different ways and they use different kinds of materials. And particularly, he talks about gold and silver and precious stones and wood and hay and stubble. So picture this. This house is going up and there's some gold. A gold piece is going in there and a silver piece is going in here in the decor. And there are some precious stones that are being inset into the walls. But then there are some holes, there are some crevices, there are some gaps that are being stuffed with bits of wood and hay and stubble. Oh, that doesn't matter, that'll get hidden. And then, says Paul, one day there's a fire that will come over the whole thing. And what was done in the shoddy way, the wood, the hay, and the stubble goes up in smoke, but what was of enduring, lasting value, that which is gold and silver and precious stones, remains. And he says in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 3, each one's work will be manifest. That's what we've done. Our lives will be made known, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. And if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, notice this, he will receive a reward. He will receive a reward. This is very clear. But if anyone's work is burned up, it was just all wood, hay, and stubble, then he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved. We're not talking here about a question of salvation. We're talking about what happens before the judgment seat of Christ in relation to reward. He himself will be saved, but only as through fire. In other words, what he might have brought with him has been lost. Now, I think, actually, that Paul may very well have had that picture and these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in his mind when by the Holy Spirit he penned these words that we're looking at today in 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. As he says there, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or, and then it says evil. The word that is translated evil in the ESV or bad in the NIV can also be translated worthless, which is very interesting because like wood or like hay or like stubble, it proved to be of no lasting value. So there is a challenge to face when we are at home with the Lord. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're not there now, but that is the challenge that lies ahead of every Christian believer. We will be there then.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Bringing Joy to Jesus Christ. It's part of a larger series from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 called Don't Lose Heart. And we're going to pause here, but we'll get back to the message in just a moment. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we'd love to send you a copy of a book Pastor Colin has picked out. It's written by Phil Ryken. It's called I Have My Doubts: How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And in this book, we'll take a look at some different characters from the Bible. You'll walk with Eve, Sarah, Moses, Thomas, Peter, and others as they encounter a crisis of faith. And not only will you discover how these characters moved through their doubts, you'll see how God graciously dealt with each one of them, reawakening their faith. Again, we'd love to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
There is a challenge to face when we are at home with the Lord. There is an opportunity to grasp while we are at home here in the body. And that's what he says in verse 9. In the light of the truth we've looked at in verse 10, we make it, whether we're home or away, we make it our aim to please him. Here is a Christian, I have one life, it's in two parts, but I have one purpose. To bring joy to the heart of Jesus Christ when I'm with him, that will be the great purpose of the Christian's life to all eternity. We will rejoice with him and be joy to him forevermore. He will see the fruit of the suffering of his own soul and he'll be satisfied. He will rejoice in the accomplishing of all that he has done. But as we will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, what Paul is saying here is that the great purpose of my life in the tent, which is the question with which we started, is to get the glorifying and pleasing of Jesus Christ started now. That is why a proper view of the Christian's life in this world is so important. Right now, you have opportunities to honor Jesus Christ and bring joy and pleasure to your Savior and to your Lord that are only possible during your life in this world. That are only possible here and now. That will not be possible for you in heaven. Let me give you 10. You say, 10? At this point in the sermon, let you count them. 10. All the praying you will ever do, you will do while you are in the body. You will not need to pray when you're in the presence of Jesus. Your communication will be direct. All the believing you will ever do is the believing that you do while you are in the body. You don't need believing when faith is turned into sight. All the courage you will ever show is the courage you show in this world because there are no dangers in the presence of Jesus. The only time you can ever honor him with courage is in facing up to danger and difficulty right now. All the resisting of sin you will ever do in all of your life, all it's the battling with temptation that you're engaged in right now. That's why it's so important. There's no temptation and there's certainly no sin in the presence of Jesus. The only opportunities that you have to trust God in what you do not understand are the situations in which you just don't understand what God is doing right now. Because there will be no such situations when you're in the presence of Jesus and faith will be turned to sight and all things will be made known. The only dark places where you can ever shine as a light, ever in your life, are the dark places where God puts you in this world. There are no dark places in the presence of Jesus in heaven. The only patience you can ever show is the patience you show while you're in the body. There will be no pressure on you with regards to patience in the presence of Jesus. The only bearing witness to Jesus, the only testifying to the glory of his name to someone who does not know it is what you do in this world. There are no lost people in heaven, and those who believe know him and are enjoying him immediately already. The only comfort that you can ever give in your entire life for all eternity, the only comfort you can ever give to a suffering person is the comfort that you give to a suffering person here and now. The only compassion that you can ever give to someone who is poor is the compassion that you give here in this world. There is no suffering. There are no poor in the presence of Jesus in heaven. The only sacrifices you will ever make, the only giving you will ever do, the only labor in which you can ever extend yourself is what you do in this life. Because in the presence of Jesus, there are no sacrifices. The saints are resting from their labors. The only opportunity for you to push outside of your comfort zone for the sake of Jesus bringing joy to his heart is the chance you will have to do that here and now. You see, last week we started with there's a challenge for us here and there's a great opportunity for us there. And this week we're seeing that there's a challenge for us there. And oh, there is a great opportunity for you and for me to live flat out for Jesus Christ and to extend ourselves in what brings pleasure to Him here and now. And so I began by saying I want to encourage you about the importance of the Christian's life in this world. You see why Paul says that what we go through in our life in this world actually prepares for us an eternal weight of glory, so we make it our aim to please Him. Seize the opportunity that you have to honor Jesus in the difficulties you are facing right now, especially where your life is hard. It will not be hard in heaven. This is the only time you're going to be able to honor Him in a circumstance like this. And when you do, here's what you're doing. You're laying gold and silver and precious stones into the building of your life. And friends, that is something that you can only do here. Your life now at its hardest is laden with opportunity. And God tells you this so that you will not lose heart.
What a reminder that there are only some opportunities that we're going to have here and now on this side of eternity. What a great motivation for us to really seek to bring joy and honor to Jesus through how we live our lives. Well, today's message is entitled, Bringing Joy to Jesus Christ. It's part of a series entitled, Don't Lose Heart, where we're diving into and exploring 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you want to get a copy of this series, Don't Lose Heart, ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or again, our website is openthebible.org. At the website, you'll be able to listen to broadcasts you may have missed. You'll find entire audio series, our daily devotional that you can both read and listen to, our blog, and much more. If it's been a while since you've been to the website, check it out. Again, that's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on this station, make the podcast, the app, and all the ministry tools available because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thanks of Phil Reichen's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, what would you say this book is really about?
Well, it's about people in the Bible who had doubts. And, you know, if someone listening has doubts, you've probably thought to yourself, well, I must be the only person who's ever had this kind of experience of doubting. Well, guess what? You are not alone. That in the Bible, there are many people who went through different kinds of doubt. And Phil Reichen has pulled out the stories of no less than 10 of them. And he tells in a compelling way the stories of people who have walked through doubt and a crisis of faith. And it's full of wisdom for the weary doubter. It really is a help and an encouragement for a person who's going through this dark valley. Not only will you discover how these characters in the Bible move through their doubts, but you'll see how God graciously dealt with each and every one of them, sustaining and restoring and reawakening their faith. Your doubt may be, in God's grace, the passage by which He brings you into a stronger faith than you've ever known before.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for financially supporting Open the Bible this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365 or openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
This is Pastor Colin, and I love the story of the thief on the cross because it's the best story we have to help people understand grace.
You know, many people have the idea that if a person was to get into heaven, they'd get there by living a good enough life. Well, the thief on the cross hadn't lived a good life, and he wasn't in a position to start living a good life either. But Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Well, if the thief could get into heaven, so can everyone you know and will ever meet. Heaven How I Got Here is a compelling 60-minute film in which Stephen Baldwin portrays the thief on the cross in a one-person play. We've seen God use this film to help many trust in Jesus as the thief did. So who is there in your life who needs to understand grace? For more information or to watch this film for free, visit openthebible.org/heaven. That's openthebible.org/heaven.